What is up from the SNY studios in New York City? Welcome to the last edition of the TKB podcast before the regular season finally kicks off. As always, I'm Anthony Donahue, joined alongside Moak Hamilton.
Chilling, man. Ready for the regular season to begin. Pleasure to be here with you as usual.
So you know what's interesting, Moak, is that back when Clyde Frazier played.
You didn't ask me how I was doing, but I figured that's what you were thinking. So that's why I started with chilling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm chilling. I told you already.
I'm chilling too. So back when like Clyde and those guys played, they played about 16 preseason games. And when we were kids, they played between 9 and 10 preseason games. Now, 6 preseason games. Interesting.
Thank goodness for that. There are actually conversations. So obviously this whole CBA thing is going on right now. The players would actually like to see this thing cut to 4 preseason games.
Yeah.
And I actually had a thought. I would not be opposed to seeing preseason games go from 12 minutes to 9 minutes. Why do we need 48 minutes of a preseason game?
I'm kind of with you, and that's something we can get into later on in the show, but I'm not against that. 4 to 6 is not bad. Another thing they should do for preseason is for people like that have season tickets, you should not
pay. Don't charge them.
And it happens in every sport. Same with football, same with hockey. You should not pay full price for preseason games.
I agree.
You shouldn't. You want to do half price, or maybe for the preseason games, the fans get vouchers for free food? Something.
That's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea. But we can get into that a little bit more later on in the show.
The preseason games are like a tariff.
Right, exactly.
And it's like, oh, you want the season tickets.
Oh, you have to get them.
You got to buy the preseason games, too. It's kind of unfair for the fans.
So, yeah, that's something we should definitely get into in a little bit. But, obviously, the Knicks season opens up in just a few days as they will go to Cleveland. They will watch them get their championship rings, or they'll be in the locker room. But, nevertheless, the season begins on Tuesday. The Knicks had a 4-2 preseason. Saw some things I liked a lot. Saw some things I didn't love as far as the defense. But, for the most part, a 4-2 preseason, I liked what I saw.
I liked what I saw, too. There are definitely some of the guys toward the end of the bench, guys that we don't expect to make the team.
Right.
But you never know, right? You never know what could happen. What I saw that I liked most, I mean, it really comes from more of, like, the guys that you do expect to see.
Of course.
Joakim Noah showed you great stuff.
Joakim Noah dominated the first quarter last night. He was doing Joakim Noah things.
Yes, he was. He showed you great stuff. Brandon Jennings kind of struggling with shooting the basketball.
Yeah, he's played well, but the outside shot has not quite been there yet.
Yeah. But the thing I like about Jennings, he has his foot on the gas, and he's
definitely on the gas. Phil, that's for sure.
I saw a great tweet on Thursday, and I don't remember who said it, but they said that, you know, when you're playing 2K, right, you got a turbo button, sometimes it sticks. They're like, Brandon Jennings' button, his turbo button is stuck.
Rank 1 to 10, Brandon Jennings' shimmy that he showed a few times.
It's pretty good.
It's a pretty good shimmy.
It's a pretty good
shimmy. It's a Mark Jackson level.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm going to say it's Mark Jackson level. Mark Jackson had the shimmy.
He did.
And Antoine Walker
was
up there, too.
Yes.
Let's not get it twisted. But I like what I saw from Noah. I like what I saw from Jensen. I've liked what I've seen from Porzingis. And Carmelo, he's at home at Barclays.
Yeah.
Carmelo, I like the arc and I like the form on his J in Barclays. So I like what I saw from the starters. I like what I saw from some of the end of the bench guys, too. That's something that we were talking about off the air.
Guys like Ron Baker, Willie Hernangómez. We know Willie will definitely be on the team. Excuse me, Billy Hernangómez will definitely be on the team. What I've said about Billy this whole time, to me, he's an old soul. He's a guy who has tremendous footwork. He can play the post. I love what I see. Even, you know a guy who even played well, he's taking a lot of heat from Knicks fans. And if he plays 10 minutes a game, knocks down a shot, and plays some D, I don't hate Sasha Vujicic.
Oh, Vujicic.
Yeah, listen. Last year, it was kind of like Tony Douglas 5 years ago. Tony Douglas would have been a fine eighth man off the bench.
Mm.
But the Knicks, D'Antoni made him a starter, ruined him. Sasha Vujicic, if he's the eighth, ninth man, playing a few minutes a game, knocking down a shot, playing some defense, being a leader, being a guy that the teammates like, I have no problem with him. Just last year, he got put in a position where he had to play a lot, and the fans ended up turning on him.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Vujicic that I kind of wonder is like, okay, well, who are you getting? Are you getting the, like, it ain't 2008 no more.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But like, for those little things, he can still knock down a shot, play some D.
You sure?
Kind of. Listen, he's a good leader. The guys really like him.
You sure?
Yes. Yes.
All right, if you say you sure, then I'm a roll with that.
The guys like Porzingis,
I just don't know.
They like him. They really like him having around. Obviously, let's say he were to get cut, I think they'll survive.
Mm-hmm.
But guys do like having Vujicic around. So he's played solid. I love what I see from Melo. And the big thing, Derrick Rose, the trial is over. He was dismissed of all charges. And now the Knicks will have 3 practices, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before the opener. Now, as we tape this show on Friday, Derrick Rose will be meeting with Jeff Hornacek today to go over some of the offense and the defense.
I'm interested in seeing how this goes. And the reason why is because Rose is a guy who, I mean, all players, they need this is why the preseason is so long. Yeah. That's why preseason gave me 48 minutes.
You do need reps.
You need reps, and you need to be in rhythm. Pro athletes are creatures of habit. So missing that time, not having the preseason to kind of get warmed up, and now coming in and playing the Cavaliers in the first game of the season, it worries me a little bit for
Derrick. I think what helps Derrick Rose, and I'm not going to throw Justin Holiday in this, but he's played with Joakim Noah. He knows how to play with Noah. Mm-hmm. Rose has been around the block. Yeah, he's going to need a few games. There's no doubt about that. But he's a basketball player. He's 27, 28 years old. This isn't new to him. Is he going to grasp everything in three practices in one meeting with Hornacek? No. But do I think he'll fit right in? I think so. You know, he's gonna take him some time, but you know, he's not 22, so I'm not necessarily worried about that.
What I'm interested in seeing really, Ant, is a lot has been made of Jeff Hornacek's marriage to the triangle and what his relationship with the triangle is gonna be. During the preseason, you saw some triangle movement and some motion.
Remember back in the day when I don't know if they still have it on Facebook, you could put in a relationship single or it's complicated. I think with the triangle and Jeff Hornacek, it's complicated. I think so. For better or for worse.
Are you sure he's not single?
Might be single, but I think it's more complicated. So every now and then, you might be with it, and you might not be with
it. Right.
Maybe they're friends with benefits.
It's not a bad place to be.
Sometimes.
It's not a bad place to be. But the point is, what concerns me with Rose is the lack of triangle reps.
Yes,
because when he's in Los Angeles, with his trainer, he can lift all the weights he wants.
Yes.
Right? Like, he can do all the stomach crunches he wants. He can do all the agility things that he wants. But if he doesn't have his teammates out there with him giving him triangle reps, then they're going to struggle. So what I want to see now, Phil Jackson spoke of an attack guard.
Yes. Which
Brandon Jennings is showing himself
well.
To be as well.
Both the guys who attack.
So if Hornacek is going to be letting these guys, if the rule is going to be get the board, and if you get the ball across the half-court line with 21 seconds on the shot clock, go. Don't wait.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't wait to set the triangle. If you get it across with 20 seconds, go. If that's going to be the mindset of the team, then I think Derrick Rose will be fine from day one.
Listen, here's the thing, Moke. We're going to see triangle a little bit. You have Derrick Rose. You have Chris Stapps against Carmelo Anthony. Jeff Hornacek. I think you're going to see a lot of pick and roll, as you should, on Tuesday night with a guy like Derrick Rose and have him attack and then create off the attack.
Well, that's what you want. You know, that's kind of what made Rajon Rondo such an effective point guard with the Boston Celtics a few years ago.
Yep.
Was pick and roll. It's like Rondo was, even though he couldn't shoot very well, he was magnificent at reading.
He could finish around the rim, though, Rondo.
Oh, could. Yeah, no question.
With that English.
No question. The English and then also the okie doke where you catch it.
Yeah. It's not a video as we're doing the moves right now.
Right. So as far as Rose is concerned, that's my major concern for him. It's just what is the offense going to look like when he's out there as a starter? Because there are some people that are actually advocating bringing him off the bench.
I don't think you should just get. And that's why you saw Brandon Jennings come off the bench last night in Brooklyn, because Hornacek wants to have him used to coming off the bench. Obviously, Brandon Jennings is better than Sasha Vujicic, but Brandon purposely came off the bench last night to get used to coming off the bench. So unless something, a catastrophe happens, Derrick Rose will be starting Tuesday night in Cleveland.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, man. I tell you, I just hope from the Knicks fan perspective that you don't go into Cleveland and get blown out by 38 points. Because if that happens, how would you
Knicks
feel
fans
if that
Knicks fans never overreact.
True.
Never.
Silly me.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
What am I thinking?
Well, I mean, I hope that doesn't happen. I think the Knicks are going to be ready to play. Obviously, Cleveland is a well-oiled machine. They won the championship last year. They have their core back of LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, the whole crew. So, I don't know what's going to happen on Tuesday night. I think it's going to be a good game. I think both teams are going to be ready to play. But I think the Knicks are going to be ready to play because they have something to prove. All these guys in this roster, Brandon Jennings, Derrick Rose, Carmelo Anthony, Kristaps Porzingis for this second year, Courtney Lee, hopefully finally sticking with the team for a long time. All these guys have something to prove.
I totally agree with that, and it's not a bad place to be if you have guys that are winners. I think I said this a few weeks ago. My only concern is when guys, quote unquote, have something to prove, specifically Derrick Rose and Brandon Jennings, the question then becomes, are they going to be able to put the team ahead of their want to drop 25 and show they can still play?
It's a fair point.
Especially with Rose, because Rose came under fire a few years ago when guys were getting these big money contracts. Derrick Rose was a guy who hadn't even played and hadn't even fulfilled his contractual obligation with the Bulls. Had $20 million a year coming in for a few years at the time and was like, wow, I see these guys getting these big money contracts and I can't wait to get mine. And everyone was like, what?
I think one thing with Derrick Rose and his quotes, I just think you just got to take it with a grain of salt. He's, you know, he's definitely a quote machine, you know, for better or for worse, Moke. So I'm not saying he didn't mean what he said, but I think throughout the season, I think the writers and yourself in the locker room, we're going to have a lot of fun with Derrick Rose and some of the quotes that are probably going to come from his mouth.
Well, listen, we're not going to have as much fun with him as we had with Metal World Peace. I'll tell you that much.
That didn't last very long.
Oh, my goodness. World Peace used to say, this guy used to say some crap. I'm going to tell you off the air some of the stuff.
He's still playing. How about that?
Well, yeah, but I think there is a question as to whether or not he'll actually make the final roster.
Oh, he's not a guaranteed contract?
Not a guaranteed contract. And the Lakers, they're rebuilding. You know what I mean? So we don't know if
he'll
have
a career after basketball.
Doing what?
Anything.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I can see him being a stand. He does some stand up.
I don't know, man. Meta, I love him. New York guy. Best thing. So here's my best memory about Meta. Just a quick tangent.
Yeah, go for it.
Best memory of him as a Knick.
Which did not last long again.
Which did not last long. First game of his Knick career. The man took the F train to the
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He took the F train
from Queensbridge.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
You talk about real. It does not get any more real than that. Gotta love Meta World Peace.
So Ramona Shelburne is reporting that if he doesn't make the team, he could be an assistant coach for the Lakers, actually. How about that?
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what Ramona Shelburne is reporting. And, you know, if she's reporting, it's probably true. So, yeah.
Coach World Peace? Are you for real?
That's the rumor. I can see it. He's tight with Luke Walton. It makes sense.
Do you remember when he elbowed James Harden in the head?
Yeah, I do. Remember when he threw the TV after losing to the Knicks in 2003?
Yes.
In the infamous tunnel?
Yes, I do.
This needs to happen.
Oh, my goodness. I feel sorry for D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle, if that's the case.
And D'Angelo Russell will be in my Around the League in a little bit. But back to the Knicks. One guy in the preseason, to me, he's just such a solid player. He played all right, but he played really well last night, and that's Courtney Lee. Mm. He had 15 points last night, 7 of 8 from the field. Courtney Lee's not a guy that's going to demand the ball. He'll, you know, play in the flow of the offense, play good defense. What are you expecting from Courtney Lee throughout this season?
I'm expecting exactly what we saw over the course of the preseason. I don't think he's going to be a guy who is going to give you numbers that are going to make you look at the box score and be like, oh, man, like,
he had 35. Awesome. Yeah, not yet. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, every so often, he's going to give you a game where he shoots well and he drops 12 or 15 or 18, and there are probably going to be a lot more games where he has 8 points, where he only takes 3 or 4 shots, but he plays solid defense and he has what I called last week, if I'm not mistaken, good game impact, because he's a guy who works hard. He doesn't take plays off, but at the same time, you can't leave him on the perimeter by himself.
So he's one of those guys, if you look at the box office, if you look at the box score and you see 11 points, you shouldn't get mad.
Nah, 11 points from him? No, that's
because you're not looking for big scoring from quick. Because some guys, people will look at the box score, they see the big contract, like, oh, how can we land 11 points? But he's going to bring other things to the table besides scoring.
Oh, without question. And now the other thing too, Ant, is a lot of time when a guy is hurt, right, and the coach says, okay, you know what? I want him to play anyway. I want him to be on the floor anyway. Like, if Dwayne Wade is playing at 50%, just by being on the court, he's still an asset to his team.
Of course, because he's Dwayne Wade.
And when he's there, the other team has to at least be cognizant of the fact that he's standing there. Courtney Lee is going to do a lot of that for the Knicks. Courtney Lee is not a guy that you're going to leave alone on the
perimeter.
And he
can make a big shot down the stretch of a game.
He's going to keep the floor stretched. And with Rose, specifically with Derrick Rose out there, or even if it's Brandon Jennings, what's going to happen with Lee standing out there in the corner, he's going to command attention. So that's going to give Rose the space to operate. It's going to give Porzingis space to create for himself, as well as Carmelo. So he's a great signing. He's a great addition to this team. Even if, of the 5 starters, he is going to be the guy who gets the ball the fifth most of everybody else. He's not going to have the ball in his hands a lot, but he will have tremendous game impact.
So one of the conversations throughout the preseason was who's going to be the backup shooting guard. I'll be honest with you, Justin Holiday really didn't impress me that much. So what I think you'll see is Brandon Jennings playing a lot more, playing both guard positions, whether he's coming off the bench for Derrick Rose playing the one or coming off the bench for Courtney Lee playing the two. And I even think you'll see a lot of Brandon Jennings and Derrick Rose on the court together.
It's very possible. It's certainly within the realm of possibility. The only thing about that is Jennings is going to need to shoot the three-point shot.
Yeah, that's what he's
at a higher percentage.
He's played, like we talked about earlier on in the show, he's played well this preseason, but the shot has not been there yet. But he is streaky, so he could, you know, shoot 2 for 12 in the last preseason game, and then all of a sudden, opening night, he dropped 35. And because he's a guy, unlike Courtney Lee, where Courtney Lee, you could say Courtney Lee is better, sure. Courtney Lee, he'll put up average numbers every few games, every 10 games. Brandon Jennings might go for 35.
I mean,
he can. He's capable of doing that every now and then, because that's how he plays.
If I'm Jeff Hornacek, and I want this team to get to the playoffs,
you got to keep him in control.
Not only do you have to keep him in control, but in some ways, it's like you rather get $2 every single day,
yeah,
than for a man to say, I might give you $50 at the end of next week.
That's a fair point. That's an interesting analogy, but I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, so it's the best I can come up with.
No, it's pretty good, but he'll have a couple games where he gets hot.
Yeah, he will. But at the same time, it's like, well, would you rather give a roster spot to one of the young kids that stood out in the preseason that showed he can stretch the floor? You know what I mean? Or do you rather put Vujicic in there at the two? Because just like Courtney Lee, Vujicic is a guy, even if his percentage is not that high, the opposition is going to have to be, wait, that's Sasha Vujicic. That guy can make a three-point shot, so I got to stay close to him.
But the thing that Brandon can do that Sasha can is Brandon can break the defense down and drop dimes.
Definitely.
He's been dropping a lot of dimes this preseason.
Well, listen, man, the chemistry that he's already shown with Porzingis is kind of scary.
Yes.
If you're someone who's going to be playing against the New York
Knicks. Now, you mentioned Porzingis. There's one thing that I have not stopped thinking about the last 48 hours.
His haircut.
No. Is that
his wardrobe.
No, not at all. He had a lot of nice moves the other night, but 3 minutes into the game against Boston, he had a step back at the foul line that was just so smooth, I can't get it out of my head. I can't. I mean, it was the way he put the basketball down the floor, spin move, step back, Moke, that was tremendous.
It was pretty sweet looking. It was pretty sweet
Effortless.
Looking. Yeah, well, as far as Porzingis is concerned, man, like when I look at him, I see a lot of, I'm almost scared to say this. I see a lot of what Kevin Durant was his first 2 years in the
league. But he blocks shots.
Porzingis does.
He does.
Yeah.
Durant's never blocked a
shot. No, listen, I'm just talking, I'm talking strictly offensively.
Yeah.
Because think about Porzingis, he's already a pretty good player, but he will be dangerous if he learns how to dance. And if he learns how to move with the basketball in his hands.
Well, if he wants to learn how to dance, pretty sure Brandon Jennings can teach him how to dance.
Yeah,
we know Brandon Jennings can, you know, dance, shimmy, all that stuff.
Well, anyway, he needs to watch some tape of Hakeem Olajuwon as well.
Yes. That's who I think, I'm not comparing him. Willie Hernangómez, you mentioned Hakeem Olajuwon, he has great footwork. So if Willie Hernangómez can get some sponsors and some endorsements, he should hire Olajuwon to work with him for a summer. Because you know why? Hakeem's not cheap.
Yeah,
$50,000 a session, I think.
A session?
I think so. Or for a week. I'm not sure.
I think it might be like a week.
I remember
when he trained Dwight and Kobe, when I heard it was 50 grand for like, I don't know if it was a session, but it might be a session.
Right. So that's somebody that Willie Hernangómez should work with down the road when he starts getting some bigger checks. But Moke, if you're an Islanders or Rangers fan, be sure to check out the Islanders Point Blank Podcast and Rangers Blue Line. Both shows hosted by NHL.com's Brian Compton. Each week, Brian and the guys break down the latest news and rumors from on and off the ice. The easiest way to listen is either to subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on the iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcast. The Slam Top 50, Moke, is almost down to the end. We are at number 5, and number 5 is Kawhi Leonard. Now, I'll read to you 12 to 5 since last time we were on the air. Number 12, Kyrie Irving. Number 11, Chris Paul. Number 10, Damian Lillard. Number 9, DeMarcus Cousins. Number 8, Paul George. Number 7, James Harden. Number 6, Number six, Anthony Davis. Nope, sorry, disagree. And number five, Kawhi Leonard.
All right, and so Carmelo was number 15.
Yes.
Blake was 14.
Yes.
And Klay was 13.
Correct.
So we kind of did that out of order. Probably should have started at 15. But the point is, okay. So they stopped at Kawhi at number five,
yes.
Right? So it's obvious to me some order that the top four per slam are LeBron, Durant, Curry, and Westbrook.
That's a very good process of elimination by you, sir.
Thanks, man.
You are a smart man.
Well, I got a law degree, you know what
you
I'm
do,
saying?
So you do.
Deductive reasoning over here, baby.
I could have done that.
That's okay. I have faith in you.
That's good.
I think you could have done it. But so you look at these 15 names. I'll be perfectly honest with you, Ant. When we did this before, you know, I basically said that for you to have Carmelo in at number 15, it means that every player that you could argue that Carmelo is better than, he lost against when you did a head-to-head comparison.
So I'm putting Carmelo Anthony right now ahead of James Harden, Anthony Davis, and DeMarcus Cousins. Sorry, I just am.
Okay.
I'll leave Chris Paul, leave Kyrie, leave Damian Lillard, leave Kawhi. Not going to go crazy with that. But Carmelo Anthony is better than DeMarcus Cousins. Carmelo Anthony is better than James Harden. And Carmelo Anthony is better than Anthony Davis. And also Anthony Davis just can't stay on the damn basketball court.
Yeah, and that's what makes these conversations so great. I mean, honestly, we could have an entire podcast where we just talk about this.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Because the thing is, better than, quote unquote, like, you can't argue that Carmelo Anthony scores more points than Kawhi Leonard. Like, you can't argue that because that is based in fact.
Of course.
You know what I mean? I actually don't know if that is true. Kawhi last season was at 21.
Yeah, Kawhi played really
well. But the point is, it's a fact that can be proven.
Yes.
But when you start using words like better than.
Yeah, it's
or
opinion.
When you talk about, he's a
obvious.
Better defender than him. It's like, it's so subjective. So
right.
We can argue about it all day. The way I feel personally is I don't think that you can argue with the top five. Anthony Davis, I tend to agree with you. In terms of game impact, he is up there. But come on, if the guy can't play 70 games in a season,
yeah.
I don't know if he deserves the respect of being number six. James Harden, amazing, amazing numbers. But the guy does not play the defensive end of the court at all.
Yeah, Carmelo Anthony's better than James Harden.
I'd probably have Paul George at number six. I think DeMarcus Cousins is better than Carmelo Anthony. I think I would say that overall. Chris Paul, I would have higher than number 11. But Kyrie, Damian Lillard, James Harden, Klay, and Blake, those are five guys that Slam All has rated higher than Carmelo. And I don't know that I agree with that. And if you told me you wanted to argue that Carmelo was better than those five guys, I would be totally fine with that. You're not crazy for thinking that.
We all agree with that. And the three I said today that he's better than.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis, James Harden, and DeMarcus Cousins.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, fine. You want to argue Cousins?
Yes.
You might have trouble winning that argument.
Because to me, even though the Knicks have had a rough few years, Carmelo Anthony, many times throughout his career, even last year, even though they didn't make the playoffs, has elevated his team.
Mm-hmm.
DeMarcus Cousins has never elevated his team.
That's a fair point. That is a fair point. You can't really argue that. It's tough, man.
It's tough.
When I look at Carmelo, my thought, what I think, is I'm just like, okay, if Carmelo was the same exact player and you put him on the Thunder with Russell Westbrook, or you put him on the Warriors with Steph Curry, everybody would have Carmelo in their top 10.
Or what about the Knicks with Derrick Rose?
Well, we got to see what Derrick Rose is.
We got to see. No, I know. We got to see. We got to see what Derrick Rose
is. But the point is, when you talk about Carmelo being number 15 is a direct result of the Knicks not being a good basketball
team. But what? Then if that's the case,
and is
then,
that fair?
If that's the case, then why is DeMarcus Cousins number 9?
Well, there you go.
There you go.
And that's my question. So that's why, as far as it's concerned, like I said, we could spend a whole podcast on this. I do think it's a very good conversation. It's great. It's a great discussion to have. And just to rehash again, we basically know the top 15. Carmelo number 15, Blake 14, Klay 13, Kyrie 12, Chris Paul 11, Lillard 10, Cousins is number 9. Number 8 is Paul George, 7 James Harden, 6 Anthony Davis, 5 Kawhi Leonard. Then the top 4, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James.
You know what guy that I thought really got ranked really low in this list that I think is even better than James Harden? and DeMarcus Cousins, and that's Jimmy Butler. He was number 19.
Yeah, that's kind of high.
Yeah, I think that's pretty high for Jimmy. I think Jimmy Butler is a very good all-around player.
No, I agree. You can definitely argue. I actually rank Jimmy Butler as being a better, quote-unquote, better shooting guard than James Harden.
And he'll be at the three this year, though.
Because, well, yes, this is true. Natural position is a two.
Yes.
Let me just clarify something real quick, though, Ant.
But he's big enough to play three.
He is. Top four players, right? Slam has not released their top four rankings yet. But because I'm good at deductive reasoning.
Yes, you are.
We can
law
imagine.
Degree.
Thank you, sir. Big up to Hofstra, the Maurice A. Dean School of Law. That's where I'm from. Shout it out, son. Hempstead in the house. We can surmise at the top four are Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James. Slam hasn't released them yet. We don't know the order, but we're pretty sure those are the top four
Steph
guys.
If Steph Curry is over Russell Westbrook, are we going to get a great quote from Russell Westbrook on that? Is that going to be cute?
Honestly, I think Russell Westbrook is tired of talking.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he just wants to go out and play basketball. I think he wants to prove himself to be the second coming of Allen Iverson, try to get these Thunder guys that are flanking him as far as he can to the playoffs. He has a good shot of being the MVP this year, man.
And let's go around the league right now, Moak. And my around the league is a guy I wanted the Knicks to draft had he been available. And I know he's done some bonehead things off the court. I don't know if he's a good or a bad guy. He's probably a good kid. He's probably not the brightest or the sharpest tool in the shed. But he'll get there. He's very young. But I think he's going to have an excellent year. I don't know if his team is going to do well. But he's going to have an excellent year, and that is D'Angelo Russell. I think his talent is there. He can shoot. He's a hell of a passer. He can shoot the rock from the outside. He can drive to the basket. I think he's going to have a very good year. The Lakers might not win 25 games, but I think he's going to have a very good season.
Hard to argue with that. You can definitely look back at Kobe Bryant's final season and say that stunted D'Angelo's growth because the season was dedicated to Kobe.
I don't remember that.
It was a long farewell.
How about that last game, though? 60 points looking back. That was pretty crazy.
60.
Was it 60?
I think it was 61.
Was it 61?
I don't know. Whatever.
But 60. That was pretty entertaining.
It was a great game. Yeah, great game.
That was fun.
My around the league, I'm going to look at Rudy Gay and the dumpster fire that is the Sacramento Kings. This organization has they are the new laughingstock of the NBA.
Isn't it crazy to think 15 years ago, they were like a top team in the league for about a 4 or 5 year span?
With Chris Webber,
they were
white
fun,
chocolate
man.
Out there, and then Mike Bibby afterward.
Yep. Yeah. Peja?
Peja Stojakovic. No, that was a great team, man. And, Let me not go into that. We could talk about off the air. I'm not going to go into that because we might make the league mad.
We don't want to do
but
that.
But let me just say that the Kings were very close to winning a championship.
They were. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Game six foul call.
Don't do it, Ant.
Because Adam
Silver ain't gonna take no more selfies.
Adam Silver.
With
you Adam Silver's coming on the show eventually in studio. That's why. That's why we don't want to. We don't want to make the league
let's
mad.
Let's not touch that one. But just real quick. So Rudy Gay, the 2006 draft. Man, that draft was horrible when you look back at it. Of the top 20 players selected in the 2006 draft, only 5 of them are still in the league.
That's amazing.
Number one overall pick in 06.
No, don't say his name. He's banned from the show.
I can't even say his name?
Andrea Bargnani.
Andrea Bargnani.
You know who? I'll let you guys know how much I know about basketball. You know who my favorite player was in that draft? I'm embarrassed.
Mohamed Sene.
No, Adam Morrison. I loved him coming out of college. Shows what I know.
Who's that? Adam Morrison is the kid who cried. Right?
Yeah, he did cry.
That is what his career has boiled down into. The kid who cried. The 2006 draft, very, very weak if you look at the top 20 players. But let's do remember Rajon Rondo, Paul Millsap, and Kyle Lowry were all in that draft.
And my
well.
Second favorite player in that draft was Marcus Williams, and he did not have a very good pro career either. We could talk about that another day.
Do we have to?
No.
I would like for us to not talk about Marcus Williams or Josh Boone.
Oh, God. Always fun rapping with you, Moak. Listen, everybody that's listening, we appreciate you all. We're going to be back on Wednesday, the day after the Knicks open up the season, hopefully with a victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. So look out for that. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG, Instagram, AnthonyMSG, Snapchat, AnthonyMSGG. Follow Moak on Twitter, at Moak Hamilton. Also, check out his work with BasketballInsiders.com. A lot of great stuff going on at Basketball Insiders with Alex Kennedy, Mike Scotto now, and Tommy Beer. Big thanks, as always, to our producer, Jason Pateri. We'll be back on Wednesday. Have a good one, everyone. Take care.
This has been the Knicks Blog Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.